Vale.
Thank you for attending this evening. We will start our City Council meeting number six,
April 8th.
April 8th,
Yeah, company.
beginning at 6 p.m. this evening.
Usayibo Andrew Diela.
Our interpreters are Andrew Dana and Genius Mailey. Thank you.
Yeah, in the top.
Before we start, we will have a moment of silence. Thank you. Notice where nobody to swear in. Adoption of agenda. Meeting minutes moved by Councillor Tilley, seconded by alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Sorry. Questions, comments, additions? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous carried. Thank you. Minutes. March 18, Planning and Development Committee, moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Tilley. Questions, comments to the minutes? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous carried. Thank you. City Council meeting. Number 5 minutes, dated March 25, 2025, moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Tilley. Questions, comments to the motion? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous carried. Thank you. To our agenda. Declaration of interest to enact items. There are none. No delegates. No awards and recognition. Five statements from the council. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Thank you, Mayor Eva. I just want to say a few things and say thank you for this morning. There was a mining symposium in town. You made a good speech this morning. There are over 300 delegates in town attending the symposium and will be helping a lot to our economy where they are in the I just want to say in the future, perhaps we have a calendar for
a
council meeting. Maybe if we can add the events for these major events, put them aside for the council or administration to attend. Thank you. Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. We will note this comment.
I'm going to say two things probably. Now we have snow clearing equipment for clearing snow. There's no snow right in front of the building, but our driveway gets blocked by the snow blowers, and then we have to pay to get it removed. It's just the snow clearing crew that blocks the driveway and just leaves it like that, I don't like that. It's not caused by the wind. It's caused by the street cleaner, street clearers, the snow removers from the road. I'm just bringing it up to see. I've wanted to bring this up for a while, and I'm bringing it up to see what can be done. I wanted to see a kayak being built in Iqaluit, and we were planning to do that. However, Imilayu Anakko, who was going to teach us, passed away suddenly. Maybe someone else is able to build a large kayak that the heritage Nunavut wanted to have one created, an actual kayak made in Iqaluit. Maybe some of the hunters here or people or counselors know of someone else that knows how to build a igluk with our style. That's all I have to say. Thank you. Thank you, Counselor Nata. On the first topic that you brought up, we can look into that some more. And as for the other one, the public is listening. And maybe if someone listening knows how to build a traditional kayak, they can tell you. Anybody else want to make a statement or comment? On to item number 6 and item 7, old business.
And
this is a bylaw number 985.
986.
And bylaw number 986. The development permit application for land. Matthew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we are at item 7A in the agenda, which just pertains to future items. And I'll explain why shortly after, but this pertains to the third reading of bylaw 985. It pertains to the third reading of bylaw 986 and item 9A. So those are the general plan amendments required to support the 8-story development in the BBS lands, the zoning bylaw amendment to support the 8-story development project, and item 9A is the proposal for the development permit and sketch plan approval for the 8-story development. We're presenting these contents now and opening it up for questions before third reading of the bylaws. This does two things. First and second reading of the bylaws, which were some time ago, came in advance of a fully detailed site plan and building design. So we're presenting the item before the bylaws are read to ensure council is aware of the proposal since it has gone through the city's planning and permitting processes. Those preliminary drawings are now fully detailed designs and proposals, and those are all shown in item 9A in the agenda package. Second reason why we're presenting now instead of after the third reading is because the final reading of these bylaws are actually held in a condition of the bylaws until the city's development officer is satisfied with the development as fully proposed. I will say that the developer has been very responsive in addressing the city's comments and concerns, both from staff and the Planning and Development Committee in prior meetings. And this was done through an iterative and collaborative process over a year. A lot of effort went into this project from both sides. The request for decision in item 9A is for your review. And it includes the special conditions of approval, the full set of plans and drawings, two color options for consideration, benefits, challenges, and policy considerations. So this opportunity now is to answer any questions pertaining to that proposal that you might have before giving third reading of the bylaws, and then eventually voting on a motion when we get to item 9A in the agenda. Importantly, these third readings of these bylaws will enable high density mixed use development on the lands in question, known as the BBS lands, where the hardware store currently is. So when we return to item 9A again, I will present the full motion for permit approval and sketch plan approval. But if there are any questions now, myself, Michelle Armstrong, who worked closely on this file, is here via Zoom. And Stephen Wallach, the senior architectural designer for the developer, is also behind me. And we're here to answer any questions pertaining to the full development. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew, for your presentation. Any questions from the council or from the Deputy Mayor Flaherty?
Mayor Awa, just one question. Just to remind myself, we had this discussion back last year. And there were a number of recommendations that were put forward. And one of them was public consultation. And also there was another request. Can you quickly elaborate what those recommendations were? And also was the public hearing held?
Those are my first questions. Thank you. Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Matthew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor, for the question. Yes, that was about a year ago when this first came to committee. The developer was required to host a public engagement session, which they did. It was a successful meeting. We received comments from the community. We had a talking circle, and they presented preliminary plans, and the developer was able to receive a lot of input from the participants. We also posted the project online and advertised it with bulletins around town, and did receive comments online as well. Then we hosted a public hearing for the bylaw amendments, and we did hear comments from the public in that meeting. There were concerns about capacity with the water reservoir and introducing a significant building in this location. Council also had comments on the project at that time. We heard concerns about traffic and the impact of high-density development on Sivamogiak. We heard comments about capacity from council as well, with reference to the water supply. And there were comments about pedestrians and the safety of pedestrians. Some other comments from council were about having an appropriate number of two-bedroom and three-bedroom units. This proposal is presenting 63 over a 60% ratio of two and three bedroom units. We heard comments about outdoor storage, and this the developer responded by showing a significant supply of outdoor storage on the lot, and has completed traffic impact statement or traffic impact study on the two abutting intersections and four corners, and how those intersections would be impacted by the increased density, and the solutions of that traffic study have been implemented in the proposal. So the developers responded to all feedback from all significant impact received from the community in the engagement public hearing, from staff and from council, and there is a discussion in the proposal about water capacity and how the city is dealing with that, and I can quickly elaborate on that as it relates to the question. The city did complete a comprehensive water model study, which concluded that any significant housing development in this area, such as this over 140-unit building, would result in undesirable pressures and fire flow deficiencies in other parts of the city's gravity-fed water system. So we instantly looked at recommended options to upgrade the gravity water system, because we know there's not just this proposal, but many housing proposals in the gravity-fed water system. And we wanted to make sure we were ready for all of those proposals. The city's engineering department did select a preferred improvement project to satisfy the requirements of that incoming growth and are pursuing that project. Therefore, this project will not, there's a condition of approval that it will not be occupied until the city's upgrade project has been completed. So the developer has agreed to that condition, that they will not open this building and they will not connect it to the city's water grid until they are satisfied with the improvement project that will improve the gravity-fed water system. There's a lot of technical language in there, so if there's any questions about what I just mentioned on water, happy to elaborate as much as I can. Also, not an engineer, but I have a good understanding of the project from engineering. They've briefed me very well on it, so thank you.
Oyana McMatthew, Kuya with Peter.
Thank you. Did that answer your question, Harry?
Update. I have a couple more questions. One of the questions that we raised was the capacity of this fire department. Do they have the capacity to meet the need in case there was an emergency on a story building? That was, I recall correctly, that was one of the main concerns we had. So if you could elaborate on that. Another point is also, you were saying that they will not commence the process of the building, or the building will stand idle until city finished the resolve the issue on water storage, that new project where it's in the plan. But looking at reading the documents earlier, it says that after 3 years after the permit being assigned, it would be good for 3 years, and they would probably have to reapply. So my question would be, is that based on the 5-year city plan to upgrade the water supply versus this new project probably will take up to 6 years or less. What's your projection of will this building be up within 3 years? Or wait beyond 3 years, because I was just reading the document. I said it says 3 years after you have to reapply. When?
We're going to make 20 going on the clarity, Matthew.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Clarity, Matthew.
And thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor, for the question. The first question was about the fire department's capacity to service the development. We did complete a fire department needs assessment last summer to assess the fire department's capacity to service new eight-story buildings in the core area of our community. And that needs assessment did outline recommendations to incrementally improve the capacity, but we understand that the current ladder truck, the new ladder truck, is acceptable, and with the standpipe design that is being implemented in this development, it is more of a building code requirement type of analysis that when the building goes for a building permit with the government of Nunavut, they will analyze whether the design of that standpipe, which is like an internal firefighting mechanism for taller buildings, is within reason for the scale of this development. We have been, the project was circulated to the fire department for review and to the consultant that completed this capacity analysis for the project, and we're satisfied to move forward based on those findings. The second question was about the 3-year expiration of a development permit and the timing of the project with the city's upgrade to the water system. The city's engineering department has forecasted or projected the timeline of the water improvement project, and without disclosing that the exact details of that timeline, the city's engineering department is confident that the building would not be idling empty for any period of time, and if it was, it would be limited. The condition is there just to protect the city in case, for whatever reason, the development is constructed and finished before the city completes the upgrade project. And if that is the case, occupancy will be withheld because the developer understands the needs of the city. The 3-year expiration on the development permit is renewable. So if the developer takes longer than 3 years, they can approach the city with a request to extend the duration of their permit to give them more time to construct. In special circumstances, this is typically entertained by the city. In the case of an 8-story building, it should be constructible in 3 years, but if there are special circumstances, we would review them and approve them in the necessary channels, whether that's a staff approval or with council. Thank you for the questions.
Thank you, Matthew. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty.
Thank you, Matthew. My just comment. I have full confidence in the ladies and gentlemen that works as a fire department. But to be honest, I don't think they're adequately equipped for the battle this size of a facility, building. So I just want to make that note. It would have been appropriate to at least see a report from their analysis of from the fire department, how they were comfortable with the existing equipment they have and with the volunteers they have at the same time.
Thank you. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, anybody else have a question or a comment? There are no more. So let us proceed to the next item on the agenda. Item number 8, bylaws. First reading of bylaw number 1011. That is rezones a portion of 899. Amendment to zoning bylaw number 899, ZBA 2502. We need a motion. By Councillor Natak, any seconders? Seconded by Councillor Kunuk. For the first reading, we don't allow questions on the first reading. All those in favor? 3 yes, 4 yes. Against? 3. Motion carried. Thank you. And also, second reading. Bylaw number 1004, cabin licensing amendment to general plan, bylaw number 898. We need a motion and a seconder. Moved by Councillor Smith, Deputy Mayor Smith, and Councillor, seconded by Councillor Tilly. Comments or questions? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Motion carried. Thank you. Second reading of bylaw number 1005 regards to cabin licensing. Amendment to the zoning bylaw number 899. We need a motion to approve. Moved by alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, seconded by alternate Mayor Smith. Any comments or questions? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Motion carried. Thank you. And also second reading of bylaw number 1006, cabin licensing amendment to land administration bylaw number 897. We need a motion to approve second reading. Moved by alternate Mayor Flaherty and seconded by Councillor Tilly. Are there any comments or questions? There are none. All those in favor? Councillor Nata. It's just a statement. The cabins are within municipal boundaries. There are cabins and real houses that are built near the river. So they will have to pay something now. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Nata. Matthew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you, Councillor Nata, for the question. The fee for the cabin license has not been set by council. It will be set in a separate bylaw amendment to the fees and charges bylaw. And can be discussed at that item. But for now, the policies being presented are just for the licensing mechanism that allows council to administer the license. The corporate policies and fees will be set in a separate conversation.
Thank you, Matthew. That answers your question, Councillor. Any more questions or comments? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Motion carried. Thank you. Second reading of bylaw number 1014. That's the procurement bylaw in English. We need a mover. Moved by alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. And seconded by Councillor Tilly. Any questions or comments? Councillor Tilly.
Nagume Mayor Allah. The bylaw itself is written very well. It's thorough. It's perfect. It's good the way it's written now. Just a couple of items. I guess Mr. Tumulty can elaborate on here. Is I have one here. It's in section 5 of the bylaw, which is it references the Ontario legislation, which is Discriminatory Business Practices Act. This is a Ontario legislation. I don't know if it may not apply in Nunavut, but I'm wondering if you can elaborate on that one. Thanks. That's one question.
Thank you, Councillor Tilly. Peter.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Tilly, for the question. Yes, and you're right that that act is a holdover from a previous review. It doesn't apply here. Thank you.
We're going to make Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Councillor Tilly.
Mayor, thanks, Peter. The other one here is another reference it has on the bylaws, the Ontario Public Buyers Association, which another is an Ontario, it's another Ontario thing. I mean, if the city wishes to use any of these code of ethics stuff, I mean, we can create. I hope we can make our own code of ethics instead of slapping on Ontario legislation into this bylaw. I don't have any suggestion fixes for it other than if possibly administration can change up the code of ethics to reflect the city of Iqaluit. Sorry, and for rest of my colleagues on the document on the bylaw, these are on sections 5.
We're going to make a committee, Tilly, Peter.
Thank you, Councillor Tilly. Peter?
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. thank you, Councillor Tilly, for the question. You're correct. We do reference through the bylaw codes of ethics and codes of conduct that are relevant to the city. This was something that is a bit of a holdover again from previous versions and was perhaps a default as an ethical guideline. But the current code of conduct and the Conflict of Interest Act and those things that are relevant to Nunavut are the things that do apply in this case. But thank you for pointing that out, and you know, we will make sure that that's excised in the next revision. Thank you.
My name is Peter. Could you meet Tilly?
Nakome Mayor Alva, I can share some of the stuff too about number and formatting issues in the bylaw there. It's just touch up stuff, but numbering in section, let me go through my writing here, not writing but my text here, under section 6, you'll see if you my colleagues look on section 6, numbers jump from 6 subsection 1 to 4 and then reverts to 2. I mean, there's just stuff on there you can probably touch up. Again, on number 6 would be 4. It goes from A to E and then jumps back to A. Just couple of touch up there. Other than that, that's all I got for this.
Thank you, Councillor Tilly. You okay with that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're checking it out. Other questions or comments to the motion? 10 bylaw number 1014. There are no more others in favor. Unanimous carried. Thank you. All right, agenda. Third reading of bylaw. Bylaw number 1014, procurement bylaw, moved by moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Natak. No comments or questions on third reading of bylaw. Are those in favor? Unanimous. Carried.
That was
1014. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Sorry, apologies to my colleagues and Mayor. Sorry, would we not need this to come back to be deferred to have the changes made for this or the formatting things? I know they're small, but
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Councillor Stevenson.
Keith, about that. I think that as long as we're in agreement that they're going to be cleaned up, then I don't think we need to. It would be up to council, I guess, but they were of not a significant nature, from my understanding. Is that, Peter, what you understood as well?
We're going to make.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Peter?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the comments, Deputy Mayor Smith and Councillor Stevenson. Yes, the formatting errors or corrections, I think, if the can be fixed without issue, and the references for the Ontario Act can be removed without changing anything material in the bylaw. So if it is an amended motion or approve as amended or something to that effect, then I think that would be a fair approach. Thank you.
I think it's okay like that. According to Councillor Tully, the corrections to the formatting. We were okay with it for based on those comments. All those in favor of bylaw number 1014, unanimous carried. Thank you. Third reading of bylaw number 1007, yes. Amendment to zoning bylaw number 899. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Natak. There are no questions or comments for a third reading. All those in favor? Unanimous carried. Thank you. Third reading of bylaw number 985, amendment to general plan bylaw number 898. Had to be moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Detelli. No questions at third reading of bylaw. All those in favor? Unanimous carried. Thank you. Third reading of bylaw number 986, amendment to zoning bylaw number
899.
Have to be moved by Councillor Knook, seconded by Councillor Deputy Mayor Smith. No comment at third reading of bylaw. All those in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Carried. Back to our agenda. 9. New business A. I will be saying in English.
Request for decision development permit application DP 24-38 survey sketch 24-008. Lot 903. Matthew, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just coming back to this item from earlier in the agenda at item 7A. Now that the third reading bylaws 985 and 986 have been approved by motion, this item is to approve the development permit for the development, the survey sketch, and the request for variance. I've already talked about the development and the answered some questions already. If there are any more questions from council before approving this or before voting on this, they are welcomed. I will quickly just highlight what the survey sketch aims to do and what the request for variance is, because those are both new and were not pertaining to the bylaws. The survey sketch aims to create the new lot for development, and also survey sketch 24008B creates a right of way for or an easement plan for the sewer and water infrastructure that would service the development and connect downstream. That's what the survey sketch is aiming to do. We did not see any concerns with the way that it is proposed now. The request for variance is minor. It is to allow a wider driveway than usually permitted. This request is incremental from what's normally a maximum permitted driveway width of 9 meters. This proposed development would feature a driveway of 9.75 meters. This is because there are dedicated left and right turn lanes for traffic that will be leaving the development, which makes sense and was a recommendation of the traffic impact study. For that reason, staff generally support and would recommend council permit the variance. As discussed earlier, there are two color options, and if there are any comments about a preference, if council does intend to vote in favor for this project, if there's any discussion on whether council prefers the red or blue building design, those are welcomed. It will ultimately be that feedback would be used in the final permit issuance by the development officer. But the two color options are kind of towards the end there. Option one is the blue or teal option, and then option two is the red option, and those are for consideration and input. We see this just denoting some of the objectives of the general plan, which is to promote infill and densification in the core area. We see this as a great project pursuant to that. Noting the capacity challenges, allowing the development to go forward with the conditions for capacity improvements allows us to achieve our housing targets while still being responsible and growing with the right services in place. The recommendation from staff is that council approve development permit application DP 24038 for plan 2996, lots 903 to 905, with color option as recommended, to permit the development of a mixed-use commercial and residential building subject to the special conditions, the city's standard conditions, and in accordance with the plans referenced in Section 2, to approve a variance to Section 6.9 of Zoning Bylaw 899 to increase the maximum driveway width from 9 meters to 9.75 meters, and to approve an extension to the development permit to allow the development to be completed within 3 years of the date of issuance in recognition of the scale and complexity of the project. Approve survey sketch SK240088 to consolidate three lots into two, provide a 3 meter road widening along Sivamogiac Street, and create a 3 meter wide municipal drainage ditch along the southern lot line of lot 903, plant 2996. Approve survey sketch SK240008B to create easements over the proposed piped water and sewer infrastructure that traverse lots 904 and 905, plan 2996, and lots 867 and 878, plan 2152. That's the motion. Thank you.
Enemic, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. Deputy Mayor Smith.
And McMatthew, I'm happy to move this staff recommendations, and I just want to note that I prefer the teal option.
I don't know how to pronounce it in Inuktitut.
Siangma. Brown.
Siangma. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith. Stevenson. Seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Comment, question. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty.
Thank you. I just want to comment. I am not criticizing it. I'm just concerned maybe it doesn't really have to do with that. It's the fire department. I'm just concerned that the city may be in danger before we get new firefighting equipment. The city's going to be in risk. That's all. Thank you. Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor. Perhaps when we are doing other planning, we can revisit what you suggested. Anybody else have a comment or question on the motion? There are none. All those in favor? Oh, wait. My apologies. Councillor Kunup.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to ask a question. The fire risk is very high. And we've had fires in Iqaluit that seem impossible for the fire department to put out. And I share Harry's concern. Will it have sprinklers system? That's it. Thank you, Councillor Kunuk.
Matthew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Kunuk, for the question. The building will be sprinklered and feature standpipes. And I will just to speak to the building's proposed fire safety, I defer to Stephen Wallach, the senior architectural designer, on this question, and he can elaborate on the details of the fire safety plan. So I'll just, if that's okay, I'll just step aside for one moment here.
Is it okay with everyone? I see some nods. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The proposed eight-story building will have a fully automatic sprinkler system tied to a fully automatic alarm annunciation with a voice activated directions to exit the building. Each dwelling unit will be 1 hour separated from the dwelling units on either side of it. The corridors are all 1 hour rated to the stair towers, rated all the way down to grade. We have three exits, one in the center at the corner, and then one on each end of the wings. The building is designed of non-combustible construction, so steel and concrete and gypsum board. If there's any wood, it would just be minor blocking in the walls. So all the structure is steel and concrete.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Mayor Owen, thank you. Matthew and Stephen, I would like to just kind of point out here, we do already have an eight-story building in this community that our fire department is capable of serving. And while fire safety is important, this building is not going to be built tomorrow. I think we have a lot of time to also focus on growing our capabilities of our fire department in between now and having three of these buildings all next to each other. I think that's something that would be a conversation that we can continue to have while this is all being developed. Like I said, it won't be built tomorrow. So thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Councillor Nata. Yes, thank you. The sprinkler systems. So they will be spraying until the water's gone. Some sprays just spray straight, and it's a big building. It'd be good if that could cover the whole building. And the material will be almost fireproof. And they will probably have a lot of contents. And they'll probably have the sprinkler along the hallway. And the bottom part of it, probably the fire probably wouldn't get there right away. And there will be fire exits in the middle. As a former firefighter, I'm always concerned about the ground floor where smoke won't reach there right away, even there's a fire raging somewhere else. So that's all. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Nata. Councillor Kunuk?
Nata.
Thank you, Councillor Nata. I was looking over there and saying thank you to the other side. Deputy Mayor Flaherty, or alternate Deputy Mayor? Thank you, Mayor Awa.
I'd like to make a comment. I think the architect, is it architecture? I don't think he's a fire expert, so but he could explain about the safety aspect of it, the building. So I just want to know that. And also, when he mentioned it's steel and concrete, that's a heavy building. If it's going to be constructed out of steel and concrete, that's just a comment. I was just raising a concern about the fire aspect of it, that we should make note for all of us as councillors and residents and fire department that if these type of buildings are going to be going up, we need to be sure that the fire department is prepared. And that was the only reason why I raised that. And I don't want to be sitting here years from now or other people sitting in now then say that this was discussed earlier and there was no implementation of fire department to grow, because it, right now, fire department, I don't think it has the capacity to grow. And my colleague said it'll take years to put this building up, and it'll also take years to train people and get appropriate equipment to handle it. And another comment is that the old building up in high rise, that's a totally structured building. And I'm glad that there will never be a fire. And I hope there's never be a fire. But I was just trying to make a point that when we're talking about facilities, different type of facilities in the city of Iqaluit, which is growing, that we take all the precautions we need to make sure that the safety of the residents and the people who are living within that building.
Thank
you. What is that?
Note in the future, Councillor Stevenson.
I should have raised this, I guess, earlier about the motion that's actually on the floor, but I would prefer, well, I guess, let me go back. It is of the utmost importance to me that this council helps developers ensure that the buildings that they build in this community are acceptably pleasing, that they're worth looking at, that they're shaped right, certainly to the discussion that just happened, that they're safe and fire cared for. But I don't think that we should be making decisions about the color of buildings. I don't think it's our place. I don't think that has ever really been the intention. I know that there are some weird language in our some of our planning documents that give us some power over the types of siding even in buildings, but I don't think that's what we should be doing. I think that we should write policies that help to make sure that the buildings are satisfactory for us. But I think specific color choices should not be made by council. And I have two examples that we've done it before. I think, Stephen, you might have even worked on one of them, which would be the college building, which is probably why they're asking us about the color here today. But there are places where this council, our council, put our noses into things that they probably really shouldn't have, and it ended up costing developers money for reasons that were unnecessary. And again, there are examples all through the city of really awful buildings that should not have been put up in the way that they are. But I don't think that this is the way we fix that problem. We need to fix that problem in a more systemic way, in a policy way that takes a step back from these kind of, like, we pick the color. I don't want this building to be held to that color when they can't find a supplier for it in 6 months and there's a resolution. It just doesn't make sense. We shouldn't be making that decision in that way, in my opinion. And I would like to, I know because I seconded the motion, that we remove that, or request of the mover, Deputy Mayor, that we remove that part from the motion and let the developer pick the color that they want for the siding.
Thank
you, Constance. Stevenson.
I don't think the color suggestion was part of my motion. I think I just said I was partial to the teal, but happy to have that scratched.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith.
Also in the recommendation, that's why I attached that. In recommendation one, it says that we will pick a color option. But if we just remove that from that, would be good for me.
Thank you. Councillor Stevenson.
Matthew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Stevenson, for the discussion. The motion, it does read color one. That is the preferred option of the design team from the developer and staff. Policy, the general plan policy does prevent buildings that don't add and complement to the character of our neighborhood. And in the process of this particular development, because it is considered a landmark building, we staff did request consideration for the color palette to make sure that it had an identity, it contributed to the core area. As a result, two options were proposed by the development team. They had a siding package selected for both colors, and the deliberation and discussion internally resulted in a consensus on between the developer and the city on option one, but both options were presented to council in case there were any objections. But we can remove that from the motion and just continue with how the development was proposed and intended by the developer. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Matthew. And not to belabor the point, but I think that's great that staff and the developer would be discussing those things. That's where that kind of discussion should lie, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Color will be removed from the motion. Color is removed. The developers will decide which color they want the building to be. All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous carried. Thank you.
Mystery
9B. Back to English.
For decision 2025-2026, Kenai Community Development Funding. We have Peter.
Thank you, Mayor. The RFD you have in front of you tonight is we're asking council for permission to apply for annual funding from, I guess, the the new Department of those government services? Community services, sorry. It used to be called community government services anyway. It with reorganization now in effect. Anyway, so this is funding for the municipal funding program of $2.189 million, the water and sewer subsidy that we receive annually from the government, and the community lands administration fund for a total of $3.55 million. The application does require a motion from council to proceed, so I'm asking council for a motion to apply for this funding. Thank you.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Questions, comments? $3.5 million funding. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Thank you, Mayor Awa.
I'm just wondering, is it the standard practice for administration to ask for approval from the council for funding? I would think that would be more of a from the finance committee. And this is seen to be an administration issue. I'm just wondering why it has to go to the council. Maybe Peter could answer that. Thank you.
Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. We only do that when it's required by the funding agent. So the government is asking for a council motion for these for this funding, and so we have to go through it. Otherwise, we would. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, with the response, other questions, comments? Motion. If there are no questions, all those in favor, unanimous carried. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
No committee report. No correspondence, no in-camera session. Adjournment. Councillor Kelly moved to adjourn. Seconded by Councillor Stevenson. All those in favor, unanimous. Thank you. Thank you to the interpreters. Good evening. And thank you to our presenters. Good evening, everyone.